Introduction to Bible, January 21st. We're on page 2 and 3. We're going to discuss the order of the books of Tanakh as far as Chazal are concerned, and their authors. That's on Gemara and Baba Basra, and that's on page 2 and 3. Okay, the first paragraph of Baba Basra is about partnerships and how to dissolve partnerships. If someone is a partner in a Tanakh, we want to know what are the books of this Tanakh so that you can take some of them. I'll take some of them. It might be cheaper just to sell the Tanakh and divide the proceeds. But the part of the discussion of partnerships is what are the books of the Tanakh in case two people own one. All right. While we're at it, the Gemara tells us who wrote them. This is the oldest bibliography in the world today. Now, while we will learn a week or more from today that during Jewish history there were debates over five of these books. Five of these books had their canonicity challenged, which means that later in history, after this brisa was written, there were those who felt that five of these books, listen to them, Esther, Yechezkel, Koheles, Shir HaShirim, and Mishlei. There were some rabbis who felt that these five books are not part of Tanakh. It doesn't mean you shouldn't study them. It doesn't mean they're not filled with some wisdom. But they do not have the force of a biblical book. That topic is called canonization, or Kedusha Sifrei HaTanakh, which we discuss after authorship. Okay? But for now, our Gemara and Baba Basra is going to assume that all of these books are indeed holy. Can you just, on one foot, tell me what difference does it make whether the book is holy or not? If Yechezkel is a worthwhile book, it's a good book. There's a big difference of whether it's holy or not. Just one simple explanation would be?
How you treat it.
Right, how we treat it. There's no pasuk in the Torah that says that a Kohen who doesn't have a circumcision, whether he can eat truma or not. We derive that halacha from a pasuk in Yechezkel. If Yechezkel is not part of the Tanakh, it may be a nice book, but we're not going to read Haftorahs from it. We're not going to derive halachas from it. But if it is a book of Tanakh, we can even derive halacha from passing words in it. From just an out-of-the-way expression. Right? If a book is part of Tanakh, then it will stand the test of time. It's prophetic. It must be relevant at all times. We will, when we do talk about canonization, deal with all five of the books and why they're canonicity, those questions, and why they were ultimately included. Our Brisa assumes all five are good, because they list all five of them. Okay? Ready? Now, if you, while holding on to page 2 and 3, just turn back to page 1 for a moment, the page that looks like this, with the list of the books of Tanakh on it, you will see two columns. You will see one that has the words Nevi'im and Ksuvim, and one that has the word Brisa at the top. See that? The word Brisa. Okay? The Brisa is the order that we're about to read, which is largely the same, but sometimes quite different, especially in Ksuvim. You will spend just a slight amount of time explaining why those orders are different. Only insofar as the Gemara is interested in knowing why. Right? Again, this list here on the left is what you will find in a Tanakh when you buy in a Sfarim store. This list is how they're listed in the Gemara. Okay? The Gemara does not list the five books of the Torah because they assume that everybody knows the five books of the Torah. Incidentally, whenever you do see the five books of the Torah mentioned in Chazal, they are never called by these five words. The habit of calling books by these five names took hold in the Middle Ages. These are simply the first word, or the first major word in these books. Chazal preferred to call books by their content. You are familiar with all five of these in Latin. Okay. because this is this is what all five of these books are called in the Gemara and in Midrashim. And it's simply Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, because there are a lot of orders and listings in Sefer HaMidbar and Deuteronomy. Chazal preferred to call a book by its content, not its first major word. That's why Eicha in this list is called Keynote. It's very unusual to refer to a book about Lamentations as how. Usually when you buy a book of Eicha that's translated, the front cover has the word E-I-C-H-A-H, right? That word means how in Hebrew. Okay, tonight we're going to read how. Who would have called it that? But that's the first word in the book. Chazal referred to it as keynote. What is the keynote in English? Lamentations. When you see the word Eicha translated, they always translate Lamentations. But Lamentation is not the translation of the word Eicha. How is. You get the point? The Chazal referred to the books by their content, not by the first major word. That will help us understand one anomaly that's about to show up. Okay. Right. Here's the order. Let's turn to the second page, back to where we started in the Gemara Bava Basra. It says Tana Rabbanan. You see it? Tana Rabbanan. Come with me. It's page 28 at the top. There's a little mark about 3/5 of the way down the page. That's where we are starting, and they're doing it now. Okay? Sidron shel Nevi'im, Yehoshua b'Shoftim, Shmuel u'Melachim. Simple enough. Don't write this down. It's all on page 1. It's all on page 1. The Bryce is listed there. Don't write it. Concentrate. It's all listed on page 1. I typed it up. Right? Okay. Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Yishaya, u'Shneimasar. Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Yishaya, u'Shneimasar. The two questions the Gemara asks immediately upon this latter list of these four. One, Yirmiyah. Hear it again. Yirmiyah, Yecheskel, Yishaya, u'Shneimasar. What's wrong then? Yishaya was 100 years before Yirmiyahu and Yecheskel. Why do you put Yirmiyahu, Yecheskel, and then Yishaya? Okay, got that? Plus, why are these 12 prophets all together in one book? Shneimasar, we call it Treyasar in Aramaic, but Shneimasar is a list of 12 prophets that are all put into one book. They count as one book. There are 24 books in the Bible, and one of those 24 books is a collection of 12 Nevi'im, Hoshea, Yoel, Amos, Yonah, Ovadia, Micha, Nochem, Chavakuk, Tzfani, Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi. These 12 prophets had all their prophecies put into one book. Why? Why not just give them their own books? Those are the two questions the Gemara first deals with. One, why is Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Yishaya, Shneimasar out of order? Two, why was Shneimasar all put into one book? Just put them into 12 different books, together with Yishaya, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, put them in chronological order. That's it. Okay, those are the two questions. Let's answer the first question first. What is the basis of this order? Chronology. No. Simple. Yeshua, right after he came to Israel, Shoftim before the kings, Shaul and David before the Malachim. That's it. Simple. Pashut Ma'od. Chronology, and anyone knows bibliographies are written chronologically. Or sometimes alphabetical. But that's certainly not this. But chronological seems to be the right order. However, when it comes to the next four, which are, historically, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, and then Treyasar is because at least the latest of the three If you were going to put 12 books into one, and you were putting it chronologically, you'd put it in the time of the latest of the three, right? The earliest of the 12 is Yonah. Yonah's before all these guys. Yonah's in the beginning, in Malachim Aleph, Yonah is mentioned, right? So, but put in the latest of the three, that's Haggai, Zechariah, Malachi, so we put it at the end, fair enough. But why did we change this order to, what did the prices say? Can you see, now that I write it on the board, what is happening with these three? How does Malachim end? What is the very end of the last story of Malachim is? Churban Beis HaMikdash. What is Yirmiyahu about? Churban Beis HaMikdash. What is the beginning of Yechezkel about? Churban Beis HaMikdash. What is the end of Yechezkel about? How to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. What is all of Yeshayahu about?
Destruction. No, good things.
Good things. Nechama. Okay. And also how to go about restructuring Israel when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt. So you see what the Gemara is doing. The Gemara says that the order of the Nevi'im Achronim, of these three Nevi'im, is not chronological. Can you give a good English word? We'll call it contextual. It is the order is based on the content of the book. Let's get rid of the books that finish the Korban theme, and we'll end on a good note, even though it is not chronological. Understand that? The order is based on the content of the book, not on the time that the prophet lived. Is this clear to everybody? Order is based on the content of the book, not when the person lived, and this answers our first question. Okay? Got it? The Gemara asks this, I'm doing it on the outside with you. Okay? Yes?
So, when we say Yoshoshov did Shmuel Balakim, so that's both, that it's chronological and it's...
Not necessarily, I don't know the content of the book.
So why do we switch that?
So that we'll see more than that switching when we do Ksumim, but that's just right. At that point, there's no overlying reason to change chronology. Chronology is the assumption.
Right?
As you'll see, as the Brisa continues, if there is a reason to supersede chronology, we will. Such as to get rid of Korban and end on a good note. Okay? The Gemara actually makes note of this in the Sefer Brachos and says, see if you have the keys for this, that there are four books in the Bible that end with a bad pasuk. So what we do is we repeat the next to last pasuk so that the book can at least end on a good note. It compares that phenomenon to this. You know what the four books are? We read all four publicly. One? Echa, good, that's one. Everyone says, Hashimeinu Hashimelecha v'nashuvu chadei shimeinu kedem, because that's not the last pasuk in the book. The next pasuk says something bad. Okay? So then everyone reads Hashimeinu Hashimelecha v'nashuvu chadei shimeinu kedem again, so that we at least end liturgically in public on a good note. The other three are... We don't read Yoh publicly. The other three are Koheles, Sof Tavor Akon Nishma Salukim Yirah, Kizeh Kol Hajam, which is a good note. The next pasuk is devastating. Right? Malochi Hinei Elohi Sholech Lachan Esel Yom David HaTor of Shabbos HaGadol, right before Pesach. It ends very bad. I'll destroy all of you if you don't listen to this. So you say, please, let's not end the book that way. Or at least in public, let's read Hinei Elohi Sholech Lachan again. Right? The fourth one is the HaTor of Shabbos Rosh Chodesh. We just had, but there's also Chametz, obviously, we didn't read that Haftorah. The end of Yeshayahu, V'hayom hineh chodesh b'chadsho mi'shabbat b'shabbato. It ends on a very nice note about the Jews coming back on Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and then he manages to finish his book on a very, very negative note. So we read V'hayom hineh chodesh b'chadsho. So there are these four books, Yeshayahu, Treyasar, Echa, and Koheles, all do this type of phenomenon. We want to end on a good note, so we... You know, we repeat something or we change something. All right, fair enough. Can I move on to answer the second question now? Which is, why was all of Treyasar put into one book? Listen carefully because this is a bit complicated. Mara gives two explanations for this. The first one does not stand alone because there's a kasha on it. See if you can get the kasha. First answer is, Aidi dezutar mirchas. Since they are small, they would have been lost if they were kept as their own book. Aidi dezutar mirchas. The books of Trasher, some books of Trasher are one chapter. Ovadia, one chapter. Chagai, two chapters. Yoel, four chapters. Right? Yonah, four chapters. Malachi, three chapters. So they're small, they might have gotten lost. Problem is that there are some books of Treasar that are larger than all five of the Megillus. All five of them. Zechariah is larger than all five Megillus. So is Hosea. Almost has nine chapters, that's bigger than Shir Hashirim, Endros, and Eichel. Right? You hear what I'm saying? There's some books that are in Treasar that are bigger than some other books that are alone. Following? The answer to that kasha is complicated. And hear it now. The first nine books of Treasar, Hosea, Yoel, Amos, Yonah, Ovadia, Micha, Nahum, Habakkuk, Tzfanya, these nine books were not in their final form at the time their author died. Do that again. These nine books were not in the form we had it when their author died. There might have been others like that. I don't know. We'll never know. But these nine books were taken by three other authors. Their names were Chagai, Zechariah, and Malachi. Those are the last three. That makes up the 12. They got their hands, those three lived together at the same time. Chagai and Zechariah exactly together, Malachi quite a bit later, but all three overlapped. They got their hands on these nine books and decided, since some of them are small, they all seem to have a messianic message to them. Since they're all put together into one book by these three authors, they decided, you know what, all together they make up 66 chapters. It's exactly coincidentally the same size as Yeshayahu. Let's make it into one book. Since we're putting their works together, let's all put it into one work and call it Treasar. Right? Abravanel tries to show how they are thematically connected. It's an amazing task, but he does show it brilliantly, that they are thematically connected. Each one has something to do with the other 11. Amazing Shita, but I'll leave that for now. The 12 were put together by these three authors that will not be contradicted on Daf Chesvov when it says that Anshei Knesset HaGedolah wrote Treasar, because who do you think Anshei Knesset HaGedolah are? Chagai, Zechariah, Malachi. They were the three main Anshei Knesset HaGedolah. Together with Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel, Mordechai. This is the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the people who brought back Israel to its former status before the Beis Hamikdash was destroyed. So on Daf Yudalev, it said, Yudalev and Beis, on page 2, it says that Chagai Zechariah Malachi put together Treasar. On page 3, it's going to say Anshei Knesset HaGedolah wrote it. It's not a contradiction. Okay. That answers our two questions, why Treasar was put together as one, and why this order is like this. Okay? And let's go and look at Ksuvim in the Brisa. We are about 9 or 10 lines from the bottom. It says, Sidron Shel Ketuvim, towards the end of the line. You see it? 9 lines from the bottom. Sidron Shel Ketuvim. Everyone have it? Now, you can keep your hand on page one again also. Don't bother writing. It's right there for you. I wrote it out for you. I typed it up. Rosh Sefer Tehillim, you see it? I wrote it exactly as it's written in the Brisa. We don't even have to look at page 2 right there. Just look. Rosh Sefer Tehillim, Yov, Mishle, Kohel, Shir Hashirim, Kinos, Megillas Esther, Daniel, Ezra, Divrei. What is the basis of this order in Ksuvim in the Brisa? Look at those 11 books. And try to determine what is the basis of that order. What is the determining factor of these 11 books that determines the order? Looking at the end should help you. This is chronological. This is totally chronological. Right? We'll see about Eov in a minute, but this looks very familiar. Put all of Shlomo's works together. In fact, you see Mishle Kohelet, Shir Hashirim. Rashi writes, I think Shir Hashirim must have been written when Shlomo was older. we have a sense from the Midrashim that Shoshim was written when he was younger, but by Rashi saying that, it implies that Rashi understands the Brisa to be chronological. If Shlomo wrote three books in the Bible, the one listed third was the one written latest. I think there's a different order to Mishle, Kohel, Shir, Shirim that is consistent with the order of Shas. Say that again? Shas. Why did the order of Moed, Shabbos, Erevin, Pesachim, Yuma, Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, Beitza, Tainus, Megillah, Chagigah, Moika? Do you know what the under Yuma, Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah? Why not Rosh Hashanah, Yuma, Sukkah? Rosh Hashanah comes first, then Yuma, then Yom Kippur, and then Sukkah. Why would Yuma, Sukkah, Rosh Hashanah, Beitza, Tainus? It's such a simple order. What is it? The size of the Masechta. Shas goes in, and he takes each Seder, and the order of the Masechtas are by size. Unless there's another prevailing reason, such as Makos being next to Sanhedrin, because according to one Gemara, Makos used to be a part of Sanhedrin. But the order of Shas is by size. So Shlomo's three books, Mishlei is the biggest, then Kohelis, then Shir HaShirim. That would be my explanation, because I think that Shir HaShirim was written by a young man, not a very old man. Kohelis is written by an old man. Right? Which Rashi does say in his prayers to Kohelis. Rashi on this Gemara says, nearly, Shir HaShirim was written when he was old. Why? Well, why is it the third one listed amongst his books? You following me?
Kohelis is written second.
I mean, to me, I think the order of these three books is based on the size. That's enough, right? Okay. So the order in Ksuvim switches over because the Brisa had Nevi'im contextually ordered, Ksuvim chronologically ordered. Our order of Tanakh, which is on this side, the Nevi'im is chronological. Now look at our Ksuvim order. What's the basis of our Ksuvim order?
Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov, Shir HaShirim, versus the context.
Way out of order. Way out of order. How are you putting Mishlei before Iyov? How are you putting Shir HaShirim before Rus? How are you putting Eicha before Kohelis? Doesn't make sense. It's way out of order. So you're right. Our Ksuvim is contextual. What is it? Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov are all similar books. They're called Sifrei Emet. You see the word Emet spelled backwards? Of those three books? Emet, Tehillim, Mishlei, Iyov. Iyov, Mishlei, Tehillim, Emet. What makes a book Sifrei Emet? Because they're largely books about understanding the truth of the human condition. These are called wisdom literature books. They help us navigate the choppy waters of our existential problems. Okay. Those are called Sifrei Emet. So there's no concern about which was written first. Then the next five are the Chamesh Megillot. In what order? Look at it. Pesach, Shavuot, Tisha B'Av, Sukkot, Purim. It's just the five Megillot in the order in which we read them liturgically in Shul. See it? Shir HaShirim is Pesach, Rus is Shavuot, Eicha is Tisha B'Av, Kohelis is Sukkot, and Esther is Purim. And then Daniel is B'Chamin D'Vriyamim is a symbol. Parenthetically, do you see that Ezra? It's just called Ezra in the Brisa, and it's called Ezra Nehemiah in our Tanakh. What they both share in common is that Nehemiah is not a book on its own. Ezra Nehemiah is one book. Right? In other words, there are 24 books in the Bible. Ezra Nehemiah are one of those 24 books. It's not two separate books.
How come in the Gemara it's only Ezra is
mentioned? I'm not sure. When the Gemara mentions prophecies in the book of Nehemiah, it calls it, go look at Sefer Ezra. And it's just amazing. Gemara in Sanhedrin gives a reason for this, because Nehemiah was proud, and he took pride in some of his accomplishments that called to question the behavior of others. And Chazal say, you're punished for your arrogance. You don't get your own book. Okay. So it's interesting. Our order in the Nevi'im is, I say our order, I mean with the order you're going to get to find in the Bible, is chronological. The Brisa is contextual. It sort of switches over. Right? Enough said on that. The one last point that the Brisa mentions before it talks about who wrote these books, the last point is, why is Eov where it is? Both in the, that's in the Brisa at least. Why Rus to Sefer Tehillim Eov? Eov, the Gemara will say, in fact, it's the whole tangent. Somehow, the Bava Basra, the Tes Vav, Tes Zion, and Yud Zion get off on a tangent about this order. It's all about Eov. It's amazing. So part of the tangent discusses when Eov lived. And there are 9 different opinions of when he lived, most of which are in antiquity. Eov was a contemporary of Avraham, right? Best Yaakov. Everybody agrees that the book was written by Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Eov. Okay? So, why isn't Eov first? Gemara asks. Take a look. Let's read the Gemara. So we started Sidran Shul Ksuvim, Rus V'Sefer Tehillim Eov Mishle Kohel Asher Asher Kinos Daniel V'Gilas Esther Ezra V'Divra Yomim Uman De'omar Eov B'Mei Moshe Haya Likdemele Eov V'Resha. According to the one that says that Eov was around Moshe's time, certainly if he lived at Yaakov or Avraham's time, we should put him first. Adchuli B'Puranuta Lo Metchalina. We do not want to start Ksuvim with such a sad story like Eov. So the Gemara says, wait a second, you do start with Rus. Rus nami puranuti. Rus also begins with puranut. 2 boys die, man dies. Right? Rus is not, there's no way to start suvim with a story like this with all that death. What is the Gemara answer? Puranuti itle achrit. Domar v'yochanan namanikos shema Rus. Shigatz mimena David shivirayu l'kosh baruch v'shirus v'sish baruchus. Rus at least ends on a good note. That we mentioned David at the end. Right? So allow Rus to start Ksuvim because at least it ends good. So Tosfos asks, you see Tosfos Dibur Vasko Puranos, Dis Be'achris. Do you know enough to ask Tosfos is Kasha? If the reason why Ksuvim is able to start with Rus is on the criteria that even though it starts bad, but ends good, yeah? By that criteria, Eov also ends good. V'im Tamar Eov Nami Is Be'achris. Eov also has a good ending. With me? So why couldn't you start Ksuvim with Eov? So Tosfos gives a few answers, which basically is that the Eov's good at the end of the book is him, is just for himself. The good of Rus at the end, the good at the end of Rus is to do with Malchus Yisrael, Malchus David. So it's more than just that the good of Eov himself is not enough to offset starting Ksuvim on such a bad note. But the good of David is enough to offset the death of Machlon, Chelion, and Elimelech. Alright, no. Okay, fine. Just to review the questions we asked. Why is Shnei Masar in one book? Why is the order of the Nevi'im out of order? Into chronological order. We discussed why the Ksuvim order in our list is out of order. Okay. And why Eov is in its place. Okay. And we discussed the 5 names of the books of the Torah. That's to review what we've done until now. Umik Tavon, who wrote these books? Now, there's a cryptic line in the very first statement that I hope can be understood based on what we did before. It says, Moshe kosav sifro uparshas bilam ve'iyov. Huh? Moshe kosav sifro, Moshe wrote his book, parshas bilam and iyov. Iyov, I told you, sifro would be the 5 books of the Torah. What's parshas bilam? Parshas bilam. The story of Bilam? What would be the story of Bilam? What would be a story in the Torah about Bilam? What would we call that? Anyone ever commits a parsha in the beginning of summer?
Parshas
Balak, right? Alright, so if it is Parshas Balak, why does the Mark call it Parshas Bilam? So we have our reason, yeah?
No, but isn't that within Sifrei's 5 books?
That's the next question. But for right now, if it is Parshas Balak, why is the Gemara calling it Parshas Balak? Because we already established that the Gemara likes to call things by their content, not by the first word. That Parsha that we lay in between Pinchas and Chukas, right? is much more about Bilam than about Balak. Why do we call it Parshas Balak? Because that's the first word in the Bible. Yeah, Balak. That's the way they did things back then. But Yikra, I mean, come on. Rashi, in Shas, and Rashi refers to the fourth book in the Torah. Do you know what he calls it? Vayidaber. Sefer Vayidaber. The third book is Vayikra. The fourth book, who said Bamidbar? The first word in Bamidbar is Vayidaber. So the third book is Vayikra. The fourth book is Vayidaber. Right? You couldn't call, you see, both these books begin with the word Ve'ele. So you couldn't call one Ve'ele because then you'd mix them up. Right? So you just call it Shmos and Devar. But Bereishis, Vayikra, Bamidbar. And this, Rashi said, Vayidaber. Alright? So Parshas Bilam is the same as Parshas Balak, in which case your question comes in. Isn't Parshas Balak part of the Torah? Parshas Bilam, what the Mark calls? It's part of the Torah. You said Moshe Kosef Sifra, that's included. Right? And if it's a different Parsha, I thought this was Sidron Shel Tanakh. Some other story that we don't have about Bilam. But this is the order of Tanakh. Right? So it's got to be Parshas Balak. But then the other question comes back. Why do I have to mention that did Moshe write Parshas Nitzavim? Did Moshe write Parshas Lech? It's part of Sifra. Why are you mentioning it separately? The answer is that Parshas Balak is unique in Kol HaTorah. For one. Not one mitzvah in Parshas Balak. Because you know it's the only Parsha between Bo, where the first mitzvah appears, and Vayelech, where the last mitzvah appears, where there's no mitzvah at all? Moshe's name does not appear in the whole Parsha except parenthetically one time in the next to last pasuk when Hashem tells him to get vengeance upon those people who warred after the girls of Moab. Moshe has nothing to do with the Parsha. Parsha is all about whether this man is going to curse the Jews or not. Right? Curse that turns into a blessing. One might have thought that this Parsha has nothing to do with Moshe. One might have thought that Bilam wrote it and handed it into Moshe. No. Even Parsha's Balak went through the prophetic mind of Moshe. And he gave it the plumber, if you will, of how to record this story. Okay? The story of Balak and Bilam, blessing, cursing, was written, given its form that we have it today, by Moshe, not by Bilam. Alright, let's look more on this. Okay, first. Yehoshua Kosav Sifro Ushmona Psukim Shabbatora. Right now, those three words, Ushmona Psukim Shabbatora, very controversial. Which eight Psukim did Yehoshua write?
Last.
The last eight Psukim. Right? Yehoshua wrote the last eight Psukim of the Torah. What? How does that start? Vayomas Moshe. Alright? Chapter 34 of Devarim begins Vayaal Moshe. He goes up to a mountain to die. That's Pasuk Aleph. Pasuk He says, by Yomas Moshe. And it goes up to Pasuk Yitzhak. La'inei kol Israel. Okay? So, from He, Vav, Zayin, Tes, Tes, Yud, Yud, Aleph, Yud, those eight psukim, the price of Bistam. There's no machlokas here yet. See, machlokas is not the book. But right here, Bistam, the Gemara says, Yehoshua wrote those last eight psukim. How could Moshe write about his own death? What's the assumption that Moshe can't write about his death? That?
You already know. He's dead.
The assumption is that Moshe wrote things as they were happening. You can't write about something that didn't happen yet. Wait a second. Isn't that called prophecy? I can show you places all over the Bible where people are writing things that haven't happened yet. Right? Okay, Moshe write about his death. Alright, Rav Shimon doesn't have a problem with that. Rav Yehuda does. Alright, it's not the longest in 9 later, but the Bryce has a problem with it. Why not have Moshe write the last word? The day before he died, he put it down. Right?
But it is an opinion that he wrote it.
Oh yeah, Rav Shimon points...
You wrote it with them, and Yehoshua just figured it out.
Rav Yehoshua, Rav Shimon... says that there's a pasuk in Parshas Vayelech that Moshe tells Bnei Israel, Hashem tells Moshe, take this Torah and give it to the people, that they may study it and have it with them after you die. It seems that there is a completed Torah. Take this Torah, this is finished. Right? Albeit just days before he died, I mean, right? But, I mean, everyone agrees that Moshe coming down from Har Sinai did not seem to have the story of the Meraglim and you know, things like that in them. Otherwise, Moshe wouldn't have sent Meraglim. He wouldn't have hit the rock. You know, there's things where, as they were happening, it's called Megillah, Megillah, Nitzna. Right? The Torah was given in installments. Gemara in Gittin of Samach discusses that. Okay. So good, all right. What's this? The Bistam, the Brisa just says this Bistam. Shmuel of Sukkim Sheva Torah and Beishu. Shmuel Kosav Sifro. Shmuel Kosav meaning Sefer Shmuel. Shoftim Verus. Good. Shmuel wrote three books. David Kosav Sefer Tehillim. Al the Asoras King. And it lists 10 biblical characters who helped David write Tehillim, some living long before him. David took writings of other people and incorporated them into Tehillim. Plagiarism? No, he just took the, made them famous. Okay? Now, I must break off into a tangent about certain Prokem in Tehillim that seem not only illogical that David could write them, but downright incomprehensible. I am referring to what we call the post-exilic prokim. The prokim that refer to Alnaros Bogel Shom Yoshavnu Gam Zochrinu Bezochrenu Estio Eich Moshir Eshir Hashem Al Admas Nechor. The prokim that refer to a destroyed Beis HaMikdash. What may be something like the latest Shir HaMalos Beshuv Hashem Eshivas Tzion Hayinu Kicholmin. I'm finally contemplating returning to Tzion after a 70-year golus. Right? Or Perek Ayin test that refers to Yerushalayim in heaps and ruins, with all the flesh of all of its righteous men and women strewn out into the streets for food for the animals and birds. What? David, you were just building Yerushalayim. Why are you, even if you're a prophet, to know the future? It's fine. No problem with David not being a prophet knowing these things. But why publicize them? Diet Sarah Bashaito, enough. Don't talk to the people as the base of English isn't even rebuilt of all kinds of chapters about its destruction. Surely they weren't anticipating that this house would be destroyed. Right? You understand the question? So there are a few different ways to look at this. One is that even if David did write these prokim, they were not publicized before these events took place. A bit of a difficult opinion. Ibn Ezra cites an opinion, Reb Moshe HaKohen, that these post-exilic prokim were written by Ezra. They were put into Tehillim later, in their own practice. They were written into Tehillim at a later date. Hear it again? Now, where did Ibn Ezra get this? It's his own logic. But I will tell you this. The 10 men who helped David write Tehillim that are written at the bottom of page 2, two of those men are considered to be the same person in Midrashim. Two of those men are equated as the same person. And in fact, there is another list of these 10 people who helped David write Tehillim that omits one of them and includes Ezra as someone who helped David write Tehillim. Now Ezra lived hundreds and hundreds of years after David. David was long dead when he wrote to help put in these correct chapters. But that might explain which chapters were that might have been put in much later. Okay, with the advent of the Churban, these prokim were added. Okay, clear? Ayin Tes, Kuf Chavav, Kuf Lamed Zion, these are very famous, what look like post-exilic prokim of Tehillim. Okay? We'll see a similar problem with Yeshayahu coming up shortly. All right? Turns to Tes Vav Amud Aleph, page. Yirmiya Kosav Sifro, that would be Sefer Yirmiyahu. V'Sefer Melachim. V'Kinos. Yirmiya wrote his book. And Melachim. And Kinos, which of course is Eichel. Chizkiya B'Siyato Kosvu. Get this, you ever hear of this? Chizkiya and his helpers, and his editors, wrote Yeshayahu Mishlei Shirashirim B'Koheles. What? Why is Yeshayahu Anavi called the author? Why is Yeshayahu not writing his own book? A king, Chizkiyahu, is the author of Sefer Yeshayahu? top of the test book, top of page 3. And you have Chizkiyo. What does he have to do with anything? So Tosfos and Rashi both point out. Let's start with Shlomo's works. All three of Shlomo's works are considered to be authored by Chizkiyo. Chizkiyo was a king of Israel at the time of Yeshayahu. He's a very righteous king. He spread Torah. I'm not telling you Medrash now. This is what's written in Divrei Yomim and Melachim. He spread Torah throughout Klal Yisrael. The Midrashim elaborate very much. He says, every boy and girl who cut him in Paros. All right, whatever. But he spread Torah as far as his Nachman writes. And, get this, he is anachronistically mentioned in Sefer Mishlei. Perek Chofei says, Gam Eile Mishlei Shlomo, these are also the proverb of Shlomo, Asher Hetiku Anshe Chizkiya Melech Yehuda. Mishlei is 300 years before Chizkiya. It's like finding a contemporary person mentioned in the Declaration of Independence. Right? Chizkiya, who edited Shlomo's works, and therefore is considered the author. Let me give an example of this. And the reason why it's done. An example and the reason why it's done. Rav Soloveitchik, Rosh Hashiva of this school from the late 40s, was a brilliant thinker, but did not write his thoughts down at first. Very little is actually written by him himself. One of his students, Avram Bezdin, took some of his works and put them into popular form. Originally they were called Reflections of the Rav. Across the back of the binding is the word, big word, Soloveitchik. But Soloveitchik did not write one word that ended up being in that book. He spoke the wisdom that was part of that book, right? And on the front cover he says, my Rebbe took this over, he says that adequately reflects his words. There's a little difference here because Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Bezdin lived at the same time. Shlomo and Chizkiyo did not. Right? But here's the point. Anyone who ever heard the Rav speak, I was the last 2 years in this year that he gave shir. Anyone who heard him speak knew that you have to be on some kind of cloud to really follow everything he's saying. Did you hear Rav Aaron Lichtenstein speak? Right? It's very similar. Right?
It's hard to understand.
Right? It's hard to understand because of the way he speaks to begin with, and the speed at which he speaks, but the diction, it's very difficult to follow. So the words of Shlomo, being as wise as he was difficult for the average person to perceive and to explain. Right? It needed explanation. It stood for hundreds of years, largely unstudied, because people couldn't decipher what the guy was talking about. Whose words are you actually reading in Mishlei Kohel Asher Asher? Chizkiyahu's. Because he gave it the form it has now. Just like Avraham Bezdin wrote Reflections of the Rav. Whose wisdom is it? Whose chachma is it? There's a difference, I caution you again, is that Bezdin and Soloveitchik lived at the same time, so Rav Soloveitchik could look it over and give his plumb of, yes, this is a good book, put it out. But Shlomo never looked at Chizkiyahu's final product to see, is this what I had in mind? All right, which is the Bible, it's prophetic, and we have to go with it, right? This is, of course, why whenever the rabbis have a trouble, let's say, with the Pasuk in Koheles, they always say in the Gemaras and the Midrashim, what did Shlomo mean by this difficult Pasuk? They never say, what did Chizkiyo mean by this difficult Pasuk? Right? You following the same here? The Gemara, whenever it refers to something in Shir HaShirim, the Gemara always assumes that these are the words of Shlomo, right? Even though in the final form it has now, they are the words of Chizkiyo. You get the comparison? Alright, now what about Yeshayahu? Why is Chizkiyo the author of Yeshayahu? Just study Yeshayahu, right? If Shmuel wrote Shmuel, if Yirmiyahu wrote Yirmiyahu, why does Yeshayahu not write Yeshayahu? Okay? Rather by Yecheskel, the very next section, I'm coming back to Yeshayahu in a moment. Rather by Yecheskel, it says, Yecheskel, it says, Anshei Knesset Gedola Kosvu Yecheskel Shnei Masor Daniel Megillas Esther. What do those four books have in common that make it impossible for them to write their own books? Megillas Esther, Yecheskel, Daniel, right? And and Treasure. What's the problem when these four books are written is that their authors were in Gullus. They were in Bavel, Horas. You don't write a book of the Bible if you are not living in Israel at the time it's being written. Except, of course, the Torah is Israel. But that's what Yonah was hoping to do. He was hoping to escape Israel, but though prophecy can't follow him. One thing is clear. You do not write your book outside of Israel. So it's Yechezkel, he was in Bavel. Gilad Esther, they were in Paras. Daniel was in Paras. Shneimasar, Mestama, they mean to say the Chagazir and Malachi are trapped in Golos, and the totality of the book must therefore be written by Anshe Knesset Gedolah. That might be different, though. That might be Anshe Knesset Gedolah because that's Chagazir and Malachi, the reason I gave you before, the three writing about the nine, including the nine. So that's why Anshe Knesset Gedolah write that, right? That is Chagazir and Malachi.
Don't write what in Golos?
Don't write...
What don't you write in Golos?
You don't complete your book and give it its final form in Golos.
So anyway, because I mean, those people that I didn't know there was going to be like a Bible. They knew that they were
canonizing a book that was going to be read and used.
So generally, in that time, like books that were going to be used by the general people are not supposed to be written outside of Israel.
Right? You could write a book, it's just that it hasn't been canonized. It's not, you know, we don't have it today, obviously, but... Right? You're allowed to read Homer and Socrates and Plato and... I'm saying in Aristotle, and then you're not... You can derive some wisdom from it too. There's a lot of wisdom in Ben Franklin's works and Julius and Shakespeare's works, but they're not going to quote them like biblical books. We'll talk about that at length in canonization. Finally, it says Ezra Kostav Sifro V'Yachas Shal Divrei Yomim Ad Lo Misayin L'Rav T'Omer Rav Yehuda Marav Lo Olo Ezra Mibavel Ad Sheichas Atzmo U'Manaski Nechemim Ben Chachalia. All right. In other words, it just said that Ezra and Divrei Yomim were written by Ezra Nehemiah. But only Ezra gets credit. Now, let's conclude with Yeshayahu and then we'll go. What is Hizkiyahu's relationship to Yeshayahu? Why couldn't Yeshayahu write his own book the way Yirmiyahu wrote his book? Yechezkel we explained, right? He's in Golos. He doesn't write his book in Golos. But why can't Yeshayahu write his book? And this is the answer given, not by our Gemara, but by Rashi. Gemara just assumes it. It's based on the Megadeta at the end of Masechta Sanhedrin. Are you familiar with the fact that Yeshayahu was killed suddenly? Yeshayahu was killed. Did not have a chance to put his books, his works to words. What does the prophet do? He gives over his speeches all through his life, right? Writes them up now and then, and then at the end of the day, puts all the notes together, and here you go, here's my book. Right? Yirmiyahu is also writing under some duress. Remember, at the end of his life, as Tosis points out here, he was taken to Mitzrayim. Right? And it seems from his book that he died there. It must be, according to the criteria of Yechezkel, that he must have returned, otherwise Yirmiyahu also should have been written by someone else if he died in Egypt. And usually you write your book at the end of your life. Yeshayahu had all his notes together, and he tragically died suddenly, and he therefore had to have his notes put together by someone else, and that someone else is Chizkiyahu. Okay? It's Yeshayahu's words, but it's Chizkiyahu's final product that is put together in the words we read in the text. That's what the Gemara means when it says Chizkiyahu wrote Yeshayahu. Okay? One last point before we break for the day is Yeshayahu has a bigger problem than Tehillim. There are 27 chapters of Yeshayahu that are clearly written way out of its historical context. I repeat, Yeshayahu lived 150 years before the Korban Beis HaMikdash. He lived more than 200 years before we returned to Israel. Right? You know what appears in Sefer Yeshayahu? Intimate descriptions of life for the Jews in Babylon. Yeshayahu contains exhortations to the people. You've been in Babylon long enough. Leave. It's time to go home. It's time to rebuild Yerushalayim. What? Someone living in the year 740 BCE who is warning the 10 tribes about their imminent demise at the hands of the Assyrians, who is trying to save Yehuda from the same fate, is now going to give post Yirmiyahu Nevuos from 150 to 200 years later? What's your place? Even Yirmiyahu doesn't give such prophecies. Leave that Pachagai Zechariah Malachi. What are you going 200 years into the distance? Furthermore, this is where it's not just illogical, it's incomprehensible. When Yirmiyahu went to the people and said in the beginning of his book, this is really a difficulty, and said in the beginning of his book, repent, and these prophecies of destruction will be avoided. If you repent, Nebuchadnezzar will fall off his horse and die, and there will never be a Babylonian kingdom. The future of a cataclysmic change in the world is in the hands of your repentance. If you repent, it won't even be a destruction. The people open up Yishayahu to tell him, Yirmiyahu, Yishayahu speaks about the destruction. Nachamu Ami is telling us that you've been in time to rebuild the destroyed state that's Yerushalayim. Yishayahu has spelled it out for us already. What are you telling us to do? The fate happened as it is. But what good would Yirmiyahu's calls for tshuva be in the ears of people who are familiar with Yishayahu's prophecies? You get the problem? So here too, Ibn Ezra cites Rav Moshe HaKohen, who says that the last 27 chapters of Yishayahu were written by someone else. Years later. The Gemara makes no reference to this. The Gemara just says Yishayahu is written by Yishayahu. If you want to hold from that opinion, which is a certainly a fair opinion, there's no huge difference. It's the Gemara's opinion, doesn't say otherwise, it just says Yishayahu was written by Chizkiyahu, who was a contemporary of Yishayahu. It's that Yishayahu, like David, that opinion we saw before, might have written these prakim with a prophetic bent, right? David could see the destruction of Yerushalayim. But one thing, I don't mind the prophet knowing that. What I do mind is publicizing it to the people. It could not have been public knowledge to the people living in Yirmiyahu's day, based on Yirmiyahu's prophecies, that this Beis HaMikdash is destined to be destroyed. Because he gave them options of preventing it. Here? So Yishayahu's prophecies were maybe guarded someplace under lock and key to be revealed someday later if the people didn't listen to Yirmiyahu. Yishayahu's prophecies profoundly obviate any free will on the part of the people listening to Yirmiyahu's prophecies. You following? If it were known to the people. So that's the issue with Yishayahu. Right? Okay, next class we are going to discuss those last things, okay? Okay.